What's going on, everyone? You're listening to another episode of MNN Sports Talk Podcast. I'm Mark Morales alongside Nick Rivera. And before we get started, don't forget to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at MNN Sports Talk Pod. And throw us a like on Facebook by searching MNN Sports Talk Podcast and clicking the thumbs up button. But before we get started, Nick, you know, there's a lot of craziness that's going around the world right now because of the coronavirus. Everyone just stay safe. Make sure you wash your hands, keep your hands out of your face and mouth. And if you don't need to be outside, don't need to go out, stay indoors, stay at home, and no need to risk getting the coronavirus. But Nick, that's kind of going to be mostly the topic of discussion today. We'll talk a little bit about the coronavirus, its impact, mostly its impact on sports around the country. We'll talk about, you know, the Yankees, how it impacts the Yankees, how it impacts the Mets just a little bit. And then we'll finish it off talking about some NFL free agency, because there's been a lot of news, a lot of headline news the past couple of days regarding NFL free agency. And that seems to be really the only sport that's helping us sports junkies get through these couple of weeks without anything else, really. So, Nick, what's going on, man? How you doing? I know, you know, like we all know, you're a nurse. I know you've probably been dealing with a lot of this craziness hands-on. How's life been treating you the past couple of weeks with this coronavirus?
You know, mass hysteria, everyone freaking out. Are you, while you're doing this podcast, do you have your mask and gloves on right now?
No, I left those I left those in my room.
Oh, nice. See, I'm fully gowned up because, you know, it's everywhere around us. You ever seen the movie The Happening? When the trees? That's what I feel like everyone's thinking coronaviruses. Yeah, I built a shed in my woods, and that's where I'm living now. And so I'm completely isolated from the entire world. But no, it's been wild. Every day, there's more news about everything. Everything changes, and I'm like, what is going on right now?
Yeah, it feels like every hour for the past week and a half, there's just more news, more bad news that's coming out. It's just craziness. You know, like it started off by, I guess you could say it was kind of like a joke and a meme for Americans a couple months ago when this broke out in China and in Europe and in that side of the world. It was kind of like a meme. You know, you'd go on Twitter, you go on Instagram, you go on TikTok, you see funny videos of just like, and like memes of just, you know, people reacting about the coronavirus. So then like day by day since I guess December, it's just been getting closer and closer to us here in America. And then finally it hit a few weeks ago, and when it hit hard, Nick.
Yeah, man, it's been spreading, but it's no surprise because the world is so connected, and because people are gross and people in general don't wash their hands and they go around touching anything and everything. So it didn't really shock me that it spread the way it did. And the numbers are only going to keep going up, not because more people have it. It's because tests are becoming more available.
Yeah. And that's been one of the biggest things the past couple weeks. It's like a lot of people might possibly have it, but there's not enough tests and not enough rooms in hospitals for these people that potentially have it.
Yeah, like I've said before, if you're not showing symptoms, which include fever, shortness of breath, trouble breathing, and you're really not feeling well, there's no real point, in my opinion, to go to a hospital or get tested, because if you're symptom free and you're feeling well and you do test positive, what's going to happen? They're going to quarantine you, and there's no real treatment. They're going to treat you like they do the flu. They're going to give you fluids and they're going to say rest. And all you're doing is, if that happens, I've dealt with two people like that where they're completely fine, not really showing symptoms, but because we're in the process of testing them, we have to quarantine them and take beds away from people who really need it. And so it's just, I don't understand. If you're feeling fine, don't go to a hospital. Don't get tested. Just self-quarantine yourself and act as if you do have it. Because say you do have it, they're going to do the same thing anyway.
Well, you heard it there first, people, from a certified nurse.
Wow, you heard it here first. I'm a certified expert.
Yep.
If you contract coronavirus, do not sue me.
Yeah. And yeah, man, like what we were talking about before, like when I said like when it hit hard, it just seems like last week specifically, was it last week or was it? Yeah, it was last week. So like, you know, the NBA season was fine. All the sports leagues were going on. The leagues were getting ready to start games and play games without fans in attendance. We started off with the Ivy League, the men's basketball Ivy League championship being canceled altogether, which brought an uproar in college basketball because, you know, obviously, Nick, the winner of the Ivy League championship gets to go to the dance, gets to go to March Madness. And now that they can't, when they canceled that championship, it was like, all right, well, like, what are we going to do? Like, who's going to be the team that gets selected to go to March Madness? Is going to be the team, the number one seed, the team with the best record? Like what was going to happen there? So it was still kind of up in the air, Nick. And then, you know, I think it was like the next day, the NBA just like completely went dark. You know, Rudy Gobert got tested positive for the coronavirus, and that just set off a chain reaction of the sports league going dark. So as soon as he got tested positive for the coronavirus, the NBA ultimately shut down the season for the time being. Then it was the NHL that shut down for the time being. March Madness was canceled altogether. Baseball went dark. They delayed their start to the season by 2 weeks. And then late last week, they decided that they're going to abide by the new CDC's recommendation of, I think it was like waiting 8 weeks or 45 days. So now they're not going to start until the earliest mid-May. Major League Soccer shut down. A lot of the Premier League, Champions League, they all went on a hiatus as well. And it just seems like little by little, since the Rudy Gobert incident, which I'm not blaming him directly, but it was just like once he got it and the NBA shut down, like all the other sports leagues followed suit very quickly. So since the Rudy Gobert thing and since the NBA went dark, the only leagues that are left, Nick, is the WWE and UFC. And both of those sporting events are going to be held without fans. And so far they've done it with UFC. I think they did it with WWE too in one of the weekly shows. But, you know, Nick, we just spoke about WrestleMania being moved from Tampa Bay's Buccaneer Stadium to their practice facility, and they're going to be without fans. And it just seems like it's all craziness.
Yeah, that's another thing that annoys me. Like, I don't know Rudy Gobert's situation, but I saw that he tested positive. I see continuously that more and more athletes, for example, the Nets with Kevin Durant, them testing positive, professional soccer players on Juventus, Danielle Rugani, all these people that are getting tested. I don't know if they have symptoms, but if they don't have symptoms, it's annoying how they are getting tested because nationwide, worldwide, there's a shortage of tests that we need for people who potentially have it, we need to know. But yet all these rich people, Tom Hanks, Idris Elba, they're getting tested with no symptoms. And what's happening? Nothing. Like, there's really no benefit to it. And you're really just, all you're doing is taking away tests from people that need it. And there's really no benefit, like I said before, because there's no treatment for it. There's no cure for it, really. What they're going to do, it's like a virus. You have to let it take its course. It's like any other virus. They're just going to give you fluids, tell you to rest. Especially if you don't have symptoms, there's nothing really to do. You just wait it out. But, and it's funny because the same people that that are going to get tested without symptoms are the same people that are going to fly around the country because, you know, cheap flights, and they're going to continue to go out to social events and be interacting with hundreds of people. You know what I find the most funny? How the people who are freaking out about not going anywhere and quarantining themselves are the same people that are lining up at Costco and like battling over toilet paper.
Yeah, and knocking over the old elderly woman trying to get that last roll of toilet paper and paper towels.
It's wild, man. It's a wild time. I just want some toilet paper and some chicken nowadays. Like, I have one roll of toilet paper in my house.
Better use that wisely.
I have one crumb in my garbage that I have to salvage for the next 4 weeks because there's no food. I have to go and collect rainwater because there's no water.
Yeah, that's because my family bought six packs of the 24-pack of water.
I know. You're mad greedy, though. You gotta relax there. You gotta swing me some.
Yeah, come to Long Island.
Yeah, I don't know about all that. On my way there, I might contract it.
Yeah.
You guys are a hotbed over there.
Yeah. But yeah, you know, Nick, like I, you're right. Like, a lot of these people, I feel like they're not really taking it so serious. You know, like you said, the same people that are going to take tests away from people that actually need it are, like you said, are the same people that are going to go fight for the last role. But, you know, you and I had this discussion last week because, and a little bit before that too, about a week and a half, 2 weeks ago, because, you know, you and I were supposed to go to the Rangers game on April 1st. We haven't bought tickets yet at the time. And you kept saying, let's just get them, let's just get them. And I was telling you, like, Nick, like, relax. Like, I don't think they're going to play this game with fans. And that was before, you know, all the leagues went dark, obviously. And I was telling Nick, I was like, look, man, like, we shouldn't really get these tickets because we would have to get them on the secondary market. And I don't know what Game Time or StubHub and Ticketmaster, I don't know what these companies are going to do if they don't let fans go into the stadium. And it would just pose a huge mess. And me personally, I didn't want to spend over $100 on tickets and potentially not even get my money back. So I kept telling you, Nick, like, we got to wait, And you were pushing. You're like, no, like, let's just get the tickets. Like, we'll be fine. And look what happened. All the leagues, not only did they not let fans into the stadium, but they're not even playing for the foreseeable future, probably until, like, July or August.
I was trying to do it for Hank. Hank would do the same thing for me. But
and you know what's interesting?
But you weren't with it.
Yeah. I saw this thing on Twitter the other day that the NHL was thinking about starting in, like, late August and September and finishing through September and then starting the new season in, like, November or December. And I was thinking, if they do that, the NBA is probably going to follow suit because they share the same stadiums, the same arenas. So I would have to think that if the NHL decides to start in late August, early September, the NBA would probably do the same. So what's your thoughts on that, Nick? Having this year's seasons in the NBA and NHL not play again until around August time and then finish up in September. Like, I feel like that'd be kind of weird. Obviously, they have no choice unless they just cancel the rest of the season, but still.
If they're going to push it back to August and that far back, at that point, they might as well just cancel the season and then reset whenever they normally do in, like, October. Because at that point,
because training camps usually go on in, like, September.
Yeah, I know, and it's just going to cause way more issues because then it's going to affect the following season, and then you don't know what's going to happen next season. Then there's going to be more injuries because there's not enough rest.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just going to cause so much more issues, logistics problems. Just at that point, just cancel the season and just resume it the following.
Yeah, I see your point. You know what I also saw too, Nick? I saw that the NHL was kind of thinking about doing a 24-team March Madness type of style for the playoffs. So, like, the really bad teams, they would have a single elimination bracket. And then, like, the middle tier, which would include the Rangers and the Islanders, would be, like, a best-of-three series. And then the top-tier teams would have a best-of-five series. So I think that'll be kind of cool to kind of have, like, a March Madness type of style playoff for just this year. But the only thing that I kind of don't like about it is the fact that what happens if a team that wasn't supposed to be in the playoffs and was a really bad team ends up going on this hot run and ends up winning? Like, yeah, it'll probably make for a great story, but I just feel like it wouldn't be fair to the teams that were fighting all year for a high playoff spot to eventually lose out to a team that wouldn't have made the playoffs if the season played regularly. Like, I just feel like that just would cause a little bit of drama.
Well, like, no matter what you do, someone's going to complain. Like, for example, if you were to take who was ever, like, in playoff contention now, I think, what are the Islanders out by one?
One yeah, point? Like, the by points, they're not in it, but if by win percentage, apparently, they're, like, in it. Like, if they go by win percentage?
Like, no matter what you do, like, if you do what you just talked about, then, like, that issue's going to come up. But, I mean, if you do the way where you just take who's ever in now, then you're going to have teams, the Islanders, complain. Meanwhile, they had the whole season to win, and they just kept losing. So it's their fault. But, I mean, no matter what you do, I feel like it's a lose situation for some people. I think you just got to take what's in the best interest of the NHL, the best interest of the most teams, and not particularly favor to the minority.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I see your point. And like I said, I think the NHL and the NBA are going to work hand-in-hand with this. So whatever one league does, I think the other league will do too. So if, like, the NBA decides just to go straight into playoffs, I think the NHL will do the same and vice versa. So it'll be interesting to see what ends up happening with that. And then with Major League Baseball, Nick, you know, the season originally was supposed to be delayed by 2 weeks. The Yankees opening day was supposed to be March 26th. But the first memo that MLB sent out said they're going to delay the season by 2 weeks. But then when more information came out, like the next day or two, with CDC's recommendation of waiting 45 days for having people to be back in like crowds or something like that, Major League Baseball decided to suspend the season until mid-May and follow the CDC's recommendations. So if that's the case, Nick, and that's like the earliest they could come back, it's going to be weird kind of having the shortened MLB season. But honestly, I think it'd be the best case scenario for the Yankees to have the season start in mid-May. But if this continues, man, this coronavirus, and it continues to get worse, if it's not safe enough for the NBA and the NHL for them not to come back until about August, what's to say that the MLB season won't just get canceled altogether? You can't start a baseball season in August and expect to, you know, have the World Series be played in November. Like, that's just unrealistic. Have, what, a 20-game season?
I mean, at the MLB, I feel like they should just award the championship to anyone, since it doesn't really matter who wins, considering that, you know, you could just cheat to win. So I feel like they could just award it to any team. Let's give it to the Reds. They haven't won in a while, right?
that's
what I'm down for. I mean, they're gonna be on the same track. I mean, if it just continues and everything just keep getting pushed back, just cancel it, because it's just gonna cause a logistical nightmare and make everything way more complicated, and it's just gonna affect the next season. And then you're gonna have, you know, the Yankees are made of glass, and they have glass bones and paper skin. So if you talk about having a 20 game season, and then, or however many games, season, 40 games, 60 game, and then it kind of, you push back into where you're normally in the off season, then, you know, they're just going to start exploding, because their bodies can't handle that, you know.
Yeah, but it'd just be weird to me. But honestly, if the season, if it's not healthy or not safe enough for baseball to start up until August, I wouldn't put it past them just to say, look, like, we're not going to be able to play this year, and just call it a lost season. And if that's the case, Nick, what's going to happen to all these contracts? Like, are they going to be awarded? And are these teams going to be awarded an extra year for these contracts? Like, for example, Gerrit Cole was just signed to a 9-year deal this past offseason. Now, if the Yankees don't play at all this year because it's just not safe, and baseball decides to just cancel the season altogether, do they lose a year of Gerrit Cole, or does an extra year get added on? Or does, like, do these contracts just, like, do they not include this year? You know what I'm saying? Like, what's going to happen with that? Because I personally don't know what they're going to do if that's the case.
They're going to have to lose a year of every contract, because the Players Association, you know, they could get away with and defending a whole team that cheats and nothing happens to them. So imagine teams trying to take away a year of a player's career, and that's not going to fly. Mm-hmm. So looks like the Dodgers.
Yeah, the Players Union will definitely step in.
So looks like the Dodgers has lost Mookie Betts altogether and never get to play in his uniform. That's a big yikes. And all the other.
Yeah, because I was about to say too. That's exactly what I was going to say. The 1-year contracts. Do they become free agents again next year?
Basically.
Like, how are these teams going to be able to figure out how much they're worth based on what they did 2 years ago?
That's exactly right. Yeah. Blame the Rona.
It's crazy.
Blame the Rona. This is what you've done, Corona.
It's definitely gonna be interesting to see what happens with all the logistics-wise of these sports, especially if, like, for example, baseball just loses its season. But let's just say that the season starts in mid-May for Major League Baseball. I honestly think this would have been the best-case scenario for the Yankees, and I'm going to tell you why, Nick. So let's just start from the top. Aaron Hicks had Tommy John surgery back in October, right? He was set to miss about 8 to 10 months of the season, so that would have been about 3 to 4 months of time on the IL for this upcoming season, if the season started on time. So if Hicks returned around the 8 months mark, so it'll kind of be similar to when Didi came back last year, because he had the same operation around the same time. That means Hicks wouldn't be back until about June. So if the season starts in mid-May, he'd only miss about a few weeks as opposed to 3 to 4 months. So, I mean, that's just one example. Another example, I have Giancarlo Stanton, who once again got hurt in February, sustained a grade 1 calf strain. And Brian Cashman came out and said that he could be out until April. So, you know, with the extended time off, he's another guy who could use the time to get right and get better, get back into playing shape and be ready to go by the time opening day would be in mid-May. Aaron Judge, it came out last week that he suffered, or earlier this month, that he suffered a stress fracture in his first right rib. That he suffered in September, but for some reason he can't play baseball in March. But that's besides the point. But, you know, there was talks of him having to potentially have surgery to remove the rib if it doesn't heal properly in the 2-week span that he was shut down. So, you know, Nick, like I was thinking, like maybe if the season started on time and Judge's rib wasn't healing properly, maybe the Yankees would have been pressured to, you know, go forth with the surgery and have him just remove the rib altogether. But maybe this extended delay helps them avoid that, because now he doesn't really need to be rushed to come back for March 26. Now he could really take the time to nurse this injury the right way and be back for mid-May. And that's just so far on just the outfield. But I have other examples, but I want to know what you think of that so far. With just, you could go into this 2020 season in mid-May with potentially, you know, your starting outfield / DH fully healthy, ready to go.
Yeah, I mean, I have this crazy conspiracy theory. I think Brian Cashman released the coronavirus himself and as a way to get everyone healthy again before they spontaneously combust again and everyone injures himself cutting a carrot or something. But I mean, I think this benefits of all, if there is a benefit, the silver lining is that teams with injuries, specifically the Yankees, are going to benefit from this because, hey, everyone comes back. You don't have to rush them into coming back like they were going to do anyway. It just gives everyone more time off that they so desperately need, because it seems like the Yankees have no idea how to manage injuries and manage their players from becoming injured. Yeah. But of all teams, the benefit, if there is a benefit, I'd say the Yankees, they get an A+. They did it.
Yeah. And then also it could benefit people like James Paxton, Gary Sanchez. And the reason why is that we both know that James Paxton had back surgery back in February to remove a cyst in his lower back. I think he had a lumbar discectomy, I think it's pronounced.
Something like that.
So he was going to be out 3 to 4 months, and that would have put him on the IL for until at least mid-May. So if the season starts in mid-May, Big Maple should be ready to go by the time opening day. So instead of having
Big Maple,
to, you know, put your
Big Maple, nickname. Just like the Maple Mamba.
Maple, because he's from Canada. He has like a tattoo of the flag, I think, on his arm or something with that maple leaf. But that's his legit nickname. I didn't make that up. That's like actually what he calls himself. Big Maple.
Disgusting.
But he would have been on the shelf until mid-May. So if the season starts in mid-May, he should be ready to go. And instead of trying to put your starting rotation together with Band-Aids, because you would have had to be without Paxton for the first few months, and obviously you're without Severino for the entire year, now you could go into into the regular season potentially with a fully healthy staff by replacing Severino with Montgomery. And now with Gary Sanchez, you know, earlier this month, he missed a couple days of spring training. It was about 2 weeks ago because he felt tightness in his lower back. And he said it was from catching back-to-back games for the first time this spring. Aaron Boone came out and said he wasn't, quote, too concerned about the injury. But who knows, Nick, if this potential back tightness would have resulted in an IL stint sometime down the line for Gary Sanchez if the season started on time. But now that the season's not going to start for another 3 months, you know, this back tightness should be a non-issue. He was also diagnosed with the flu, the regular flu. So, you know, this should be totally, totally fine by the time the season starts in mid-May. What's
Imagine
your thoughts on that?
Being a catcher and getting injured because you caught back-to-back days. Oh, my God. Gary Sanchez got to go. He's got to go now. I can't with this dude, man. A catcher that can't catch and a catcher that gets injured after catching multiple days in a row. Does he realize they play 162 games in a season? Oh, my God.
He must know.
I can't with this dude, man. Dropping balls after hitting him right in the glove. Batting 100. I just can't. He's got to go.
Well, he started working on a new catching stance this year. They got a new catching coach, the guy that worked
and
with the Twins last year.
I think we talked about that in the last pod, but I mean, I don't think it's going to make a difference, man. We're just holding on to him because he hit a couple home runs like it seems like 5 years ago now.
My uncle would agree with you 100% about
getting rid of Sanchez. He's got to go. I'd rather have Romine, honestly. Bring him back. Or Higashioka. Is he the truth? Anyone's better than this guy.
We'll see.
Bum.
Oh, man. And then there's some other players, too, that were coming back from injury that the extra time off will just benefit them. So players like Luke Voit, Miguel Andujar, Jordan Montgomery.
Like
Luke Voit? That's how you say it, Voit.
Oh, Luke Voit. He's another bum. Can't even make the roster. The playoff.
Well, because I'll tell you why. So late, he was having a pretty good season in 2019 before he got hurt. He was batting .278. He had 19 home runs, 54 RBIs in 94 games. So not bad for a first baseman. But he got hurt late at the end of July in that London series against the Red Sox. He was diagnosed with a sports hernia. And instead of having surgery, he opted to just go on the IL and try to avoid it, which he ended up doing. But when he returned to the lineup, he was pretty much a shell of himself. He went 1-for-32 with 13 strikeouts. And like you said, the reason why he was on the postseason roster was because when he came back, he just didn't look himself. He ultimately had the surgery in October to address his core muscle injury. And so far in 10 games in the spring training, he has 8 hits and 30 plate appearances, batting .267, 1 home run, 2 RBIs, 2 walks, 10 Ks. So there's no doubt, Nick, that this extra time off will definitely help him in
more
the long
classic
run.
Yankee talk. Let's avoid this injury by rehabbing for 5 years, and then at the end of 5 years, let's get the surgery anyway. Classic Yankee.
Oh, man. Another guy I have is Jordan Montgomery, and he was ready to go. He was on pace to getting a starting rotation spot this year. He underwent Tommy John surgery back in June of 2018. He came back at the end of 2019, pitched in 2 games, just pitched in 4 innings. He gave up 7 hits, 3 runs. And like I said, the young lefty, he was on pace to earn a starting spot, especially with Severino out. Paxton was supposed to be out the first few months. And Domingo Germán, who still has to serve his 81-game suspension. So with them all out, well, for the exception of Paxton now, because if the season starts in mid-May, he'll be back ready to go. Montgomery has a chance here to grab a starting spot, which I think he will. And in 11 innings so far, he's a 4.9 ERA, but he is tied for the most strikeouts this spring with 16. Can you name the other Yankee who has the 16 strikeouts, which ties Montgomery for the most so far this spring training? And I'm also going to tell you this. This particular pitcher has a sub-2 ERA. I believe it's like 1.39 so far in like 11 or 12 innings.
I'll give you this. I haven't really been following spring training that closely, but if you're going to make me guess, that makes me think it's only one man, J.A. Crap. How'd I know?
I thought for sure you were going to say, like, Cole or somebody else with the sub-2 ERA. It's 16
the way you
Ks.
Phrased it, I knew it could only be one man.
Oh, man. Yeah, J.A. Hat, man. He's been pitching lights out so far this spring.
They might sign him to an extension.
I think it's time to switch his name from J.A. Crap back to J.A. Hap with the way he's been pitching.
He's still J.A. Crap. J.A. Sap.
Oh, man.
I'm so good on that guy.
But yeah,
him
so
and Sanchez, they got to go. They got to go now.
Oh, man. But yeah, so Montgomery, man, this extra time off gives him time to fine-tune his mechanics, perfect his craft, and get ready to go. But, you know, Miguel Andujar, man, yes, we've been talking about how this coronavirus kind of affects the Yankees positively. You know, I think for the exception of Domingo Germán, because obviously Germán still has to serve his 81-game suspension. So regardless of when the season starts, we're looking at him being out for like 3/4 of the year instead of like the first 2 months with Germán. So with the exception of Germán, because that's just a special case, I think Miguel Andujar, man, suffers the most from this delay. He's like the biggest wild card for the Yankees this year. And the reason why is because we obviously know that his bat is great. He hit .297 with 27 home runs, 92 RBIs in his rookie year. In 2018, he came in second place in Rookie of the Year voting, lost to Shohei Ohtani, and he only played in 3 games in 2019. He tore his labrum of his right shoulder in, like, the 3rd game. He spent all of April on the IL, tried to come back in May, wasn't himself and opted for season-ending shoulder surgery. And everyone thought, oh my God, like what's going to happen to third base? Well, Gio Urshela happened to third base. And he performed great for the Yankees. Hit over 300, was a surprise at the bat. I think he hit like about 20 home runs. He was a great, great glove, great defender. So now what happens with Andujar? Well, you know, Nick, coming into this offseason, this spring training, I mean, they gave him reps at first base, didn't really work out. Gave him reps at left field, and it seemed like he was going to play in the DH slash left field role, especially with Stanton and Judge out. But, Nick, with the season starting in mid-May, let's just say Judge, Hicks, Stanton, they're all healthy, ready to go. Urshela's healthy. You know, where's Andujar going to play, man? Urshela's clearly going to be the third baseman. If Judge is back, that puts him in right field. Gardner slash Hicks will be in center. And if Hicks is in center, Gardner's going to be in left. If Gardner's in center, it's probably going to be Mike Tauchman or Clint Frazier. And it possibly Stan. And if Stan's like back and ready to go, he's going to be pretty much the full-time DH. So where's Andujar going to play, man? Like, where does he fit on this team if they come back mid-May and this entire team is healthy?
Andujar. I feel like there's two people that they just will hold on to until the end of time and not really make a move on them and not really determine what they're going to do. And that's Andujar and Frazier. I feel like no matter what happens, no matter what season it is, it could be 2043. I feel like Frazier and Andujar are still going to be on the roster with unknowns about where they're going to play, when they're going to play. But I mean, I feel like, I don't know, I feel like they're going to have to rotate Andujar with Urshela. I feel like they'll play Andujar for his bat and then Urshela for his glove. So, I mean, what I could think of right now is maybe having Andujar start. You mean you get a lead, hopefully, and then at some point, maybe later on in the game, you switch Urshela for a more defensive
order. Yeah, but Urshela's got a good bat, too. Obviously not the same pop and power as Andujar, but, you know, I could see them switching positions-wise, like having maybe Andujar. Honestly, I don't know. The only thing I could see working is having Andujar be kind of playing platoon left field with Tauchman or potentially even just taking over left field in general if Hicks isn't back and ready to go. Because once Hicks is healthy, Nick, he's playing center field and Gardner's playing left and Judge in right. That's going to be set in stone. So it's really just if, you know, like if Hicks isn't ready to go on time and like there's like a setback, then if there's a setback with Hicks, then I could see him going in left. But I like what you said about putting him in at third. The only way that that works really, I think, is if Stanton is not healthy and ready to go, because the Yankees don't want to, obviously if Stanton's healthy, you want Stanton's bat in the lineup. But the Yankees realistically would want both Gio and Duhar's bat in the lineup. So that's where it gets tricky. But I don't know, man. It's going to be interesting to see it, like what happens come mid-May. But like I said, man, I think Miggy suffers the most with this delay, honestly.
I mean, one thing that you could do is you could go – you could maybe put LeMahieu first. You could put – Urshela at short, Miggy at third, and Glaber at second. But
then what about Voit?
Eliminates. I know. But I mean, no matter what they do, at some point during the season, they're going to trade for another guy who's going to strike out in the postseason. So I feel like at this point, it really doesn't matter. But I mean, I feel like at this point, you can't cater to guys who can't make a postseason roster. I feel like you just got to play with who you think is going to be in it for the long haul and then rotate.
Yeah, but he got hurt though, man. It's not like he was performing at a high level and then didn't make the roster. I guarantee you, if he never got that sports hernia injury and finished out the season with over 20 home runs and finished off great the way he was in the beginning half of the season, he absolutely would have been on the roster. It's just he had the sports hernia, clearly wasn't himself, obviously, since he needed to have the surgery. And whether he had the surgery in July or had the surgery in October, he was going to be, you know, like he wasn't going to be on the roster. And if he got the surgery and done in July, he would have been done for the rest of the year and he would have been back ready to go in spring training. But he had the surgery in October with the hopes of trying to play in the postseason and late in the regular season. And regardless, he's still ready to go this season. So whether he got the surgery in July or October wouldn't have affected his ability to be ready for opening day. It's just he wanted to try to see if he could come back and see if he could produce at any type of level. But clearly he didn't. But if it's not like he was, like, god-awful all year, I mean, he's a good player.
Well, I mean, that means someone's going to have to be riding the fine.
That's what it's going to have to come down to. And I think that's what's going to happen to Andujar for at least the first few weeks. And then he'll obviously play every now and then. But if they have a starting outfield that consists of from left to right, you have Gardner, Hicks, and Judge, and then Stanton's back and ready to go. It's not looking good for Andujar. And I feel bad for him because I was a big Miggy fan. I still am. But the writing seems to be on the wall here, Nick. If all these players are back by mid-May, he's not really going to be getting a lot of playing time unless someone goes down with injury.
Well, they kind of made their own bed. They kind of knew this was going to happen when they re-signed Gardner. Like, if they were that concerned with everyone playing and no one kind of rotating in, then I feel like they wouldn't have signed
him. Yeah, but, I mean, he is the vet you need in the locker room. He had his best power year ever last year at 37 years old. So it was a no-brainer to bring him back. It just made things complicated. But obviously complicated is a good thing. In this situation, it's good. You're better off to have a situation that's complicated than to have a situation that where you're scrambling.
Yeah, but regardless, everyone will get hurt sometime.
Seems like it.
Everyone will get to play. Everyone will get to play. Don't worry, Yankees. Everyone will play at some point.
But overall, though, I think this is the best thing that could happen to the Yankees. And their, same thing with the New York Mets, man. We don't have to go into full in-depth with it, but just quick little notes. You know, like Dellin Betances was a guy that they signed who is coming off a very awful year health-wise, where obviously he was out all year for the Yankees with a shoulder injury, came back, partially tore his Achilles. So the extra time off will obviously benefit him. Yoenis Cespedes, I mean, the Mets would be happy just to have this guy be on the roster to contribute in any way possible, but maybe the extra time off helps him with his recovery. You have guys like Michael Conforto, who suffered an oblique injury a couple weeks ago, I think like about a week and a half ago. So his availability for opening day came into question when he was diagnosed with the right oblique strain. So, you know, this extra time off could really, really benefit these New York Mets, the same with the New York Yankees. And, you know, I guess obviously this coronavirus is a big, big problem in the entire world today. But, you know, for the two local baseball teams, this is probably the best case scenario to get everybody back and ready to go by the time the season starts.
Yeah, I feel like everyone's low-key happy about, not happy, but they're like, hey, if it's going to happen, might as well happen now. The only one not stressed at all is the NFL. They're like, wow.
I know, and, you know, that's perfect transition now to the NFL, Nick. They're kind of just like, yeah, well, at least we got our Super Bowl in and everything. But they did cancel OTAs and all that. They were supposed to have a meeting, I think, a few days ago, which was canceled to set up the new year. Training camp's obviously not going to happen. But NFL free agency has been rolling. And it's, like I mentioned at the top of the hour, for us sports junkies, this couldn't have come at like a better time where there's absolutely nothing going on unless you're a WWE and UFC fan. But if you're a fan of like the more popular sports, you know, NFL free agency has definitely been able to give us our sports high, I guess you could put it, with all these sports going dark. And, you know, let's just right off the bat, Nick, you know, like, there's been a lot of big moves so far this NFL offseason. You have Teddy Bridgewater.
A lot of gross moves.
You have Teddy Bridgewater signing a three-year deal, I believe, with the Panthers. So now where's Cam Newton going to go? You have Phillip Rivers leaving the only team he's ever really played for to LA Chargers. Now he signs a contract. I think it was a one-year deal worth about $25 million with the Indianapolis Colts. So that should be interesting. And then the biggest move you have, well, before we get to the biggest move, you have Marcus Mariota going to the Raiders. Now for the biggest surprise, the biggest news of all, Tom Brady reportedly signed with the Tampa Bay Bucks or reportedly agreed to a contract with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Like, that was just crazy, Nick. He leaves the Patriots after 20 years, 6 rings. And now he's most likely going to be a member of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Could you imagine seeing him in another jersey?
I'm so happy, though, because I get to hear enough of the Boston. Thank you. So many. Watch, all the same people that Tom Brady was the GOAT, all of a sudden Tom Brady's not going to be the GOAT anymore.
What's funny, Nick, is that Boston lost two iconic sports players in a span of, I think it was like 30-something days. First, Mookie Betts gets traded to the Dodgers from the Red Sox for absolutely nothing. And the Patriots lose Tom Brady to the Buccaneers in free agency. Craziness.
That makes me happy. I'm so excited about that. Honestly, I thought he was going to go to the Chargers. I don't know really why he went to the Bucs. I guess
Mike Evans, a lot of targets.
Who? Just Mike Evans? Got O.J. Howard that doesn't really do anything. I mean, he's supposed to have been this crazy productive tight end like the past.
Maybe now he will be with a good quarterback.
A good quarterback. I mean, they're going to get sick and tired of running 5-yard routes every drive, but hey, I'll let them get their slants in. I mean, all those bombs that Jameis is throwing, I don't think that's going to happen.
You don't?
No, I don't think. I don't know if you've been watching Brady the last couple of years, but his go-to is bubble screens and 5-yard ins.
Yeah.
But hey, I guess all these deep threats, I guess they're going to have to become a slant threat. But I mean, besides the quote unquote offensive weapons, I mean, I guess their defense is relatively good. I really thought he was going to go to the Chargers. I did not think. I saw the Bucks. I guess they were like in the rumors as a potential place, but they were one of the last teams I thought that he was actually
going to. Yeah, go. And it seemed like it came down to just the Chargers and the Bucks. But you know, I think he ultimately chose to go to Tampa Bay. Due to the fact of, I feel like they might have had better weapons there, and just like their offensive line. I mean, the Bucs kind of, they've been in like no man's land the past few years. I mean, they had Jameis Winston for a while. He wasn't really doing much, and isn't he the only player to throw like 30 touchdowns and 30 interceptions in the same season?
30-30 yeah. Club. So, what a club.
I mean, maybe the Buccaneers were the only team that was willing to offer a 43-year-old quarterback a multi-year deal worth about $30 million a year. So that could be it, too. We don't really know what the Chargers were offering.
Well, I got news for the Bucs. If you're not making the playoffs before Tom Brady, you're not making the playoffs after signing a 43-year-old quarterback to $30 million a year, because you're going to have no other room to improve the team. But, hey. Make that splash.
You don't think they're going to be the
playoffs?
You don't think they're going to be the first team in NFL history to play in the Super Bowl when they're hosting it? Because
I think they're going to be the first team to watch, or they're going to be the first team to visit their own stadium during the Super Bowl. They're going to be in the stands.
Well, Tom Brady said around this Super Bowl that he I think he like promised or something, saying that he will definitely not be in a green jacket or something like that come, or in a suit next Super Bowl.
I know he won't be. He'll be in a hoodie.
A hoodie in Tampa.
Yeah, man. Or he'll be in a Hawaiian shirt, but definitely not a uniform.
Not a jersey?
On the field. No. And they better change their jerseys, because him and that current jersey is disgusting. I heard they're going to go back to their
Orange? The creamsicle?
No. Not those gross things. The ones where they won a Super Bowl.
All right, so maybe it's all coming to fruition. They're going back to their old jerseys. That Super Bowl's in Tampa Bay. They get the greatest quarterback of all time. It's all adding up to be a great story, Nick, when you think about it.
Oh, man, this is so perfect for both parties. One, we get to see what Tom Brady would be like without Bill Belichick, and we get to see Belichick without Brady.
But we kind of saw that a few years ago, right? When Brady went down with the ACL injury.
Yes.
Didn't they go like 10 and something?
Yes, they did with Matt Castle.
Yeah, but we'll see. I mean, it's going to be crazy, man, with the Patriots. Like, what quarterback are they going to have? Are they going to go for Cam Newton? Are they going to go for Jameis Winston, Andy Dalton?
No, my prediction is Dalton. Yeah, because I'm telling you, man, without Belichick, Brady would have been Andy Dalton.
That's a bold statement, but
and
I guess.
Put some respect on Andy Dalton's name. He was a straight winner in Cincinnati, but because apparently in modern thinking, like if you're a quarterback, you have to win the game single-handedly by yourself and you have to take your team to the playoffs. He got booted from Cincinnati after he was like a decent quarterback. The same thing with Stafford. Stafford puts up numbers, but because the quarterback has to play defense, has to coach, and has to be the owner, he's looked at as non-elite quarterback. He also can't stay on the field, though. Yeah, because you see the hits he takes? That man gets driven to the ground with force.
Yeah, that is true.
No O-line. No running back. No receivers. No,
it's going to be crazy to see, though, man. My gut is telling me that they might go for Cam Newton because of the whole mobile quarterback thing. And maybe with Belichick, they'll be able to keep him in line and actually get the most out of him, Cam Newton. But, I mean, he's another guy, too, that can't really stay on the field as of late. But, I mean, he did play in the Super Bowl. He seemed extremely overwhelmed. But my guess would...
Imagine being in a Super Bowl and not diving on a fumble.
But my gut's telling me that they might go the Cam Newton route, because I don't know if Bill Belichick's going to want to do a rebuild or go with the rookie quarterback or an inexperienced quarterback, because he's, what, 68, 69 years old? So I don't know if he wants to go through a 2-3 year rebuild. So why not? You have an elite defense. They showed it last year that they were elite, at least in the first half, but... Why not come in and either go the Andy Dalton route, like you said, or the Cam Newton route? Because, I don't think Bill Belichick's going to want to do a 2-3 year rebuild. And the only reason why I'm going Newton is because in today's NFL, you have all these mobile quarterbacks, like Lamar Jackson, Patrick Mahomes, Darnold's mobile, Daniel Jones is mobile when we talk about locals, Josh Allen's mobile. So now, in today's NFL, it's not so much about pocket passer. It's more of the quarterback that could kind of run as well. So that's why I'm going Cam Newton. But Andy Dalton will be interesting, too, to see if maybe Belichick could get the most out of him and see if it's – we'll really be able to know, like you said at the top of the segment, if Brady is a product of the Belichick system or is Belichick a product of Tom Brady's greatness. We'll really be able to see this year.
I don't know, man. I feel like without Belichick, moves would be made.
We'll see. We'll see. But that's going to be interesting to watch all year. I wonder if they play the Patriots. Let's see. I know the Bucs come to MetLife and play the Jets. But let's see if somehow they're scheduled against the Patriots. They do play. Let's see. I don't know how accurate the schedule is. I'm gonna get it off of. Their actual website instead of just some Fugazi website. Let's see. They do play the Giants. They don't play the Patriots, but I saw on Twitter that they play the Jets. I guess not. I guess they meant that they play the Giants at MetLife.
I feel like they play the Giants every year, no matter what. So much for switching the schedule. They play them every year.
Yeah, and this is from February 18th, 2020 on the Buccaneers website. So, yeah, I guess the tweet was wrong. I guess I should fact check. But they do play the Giants in MetLife. They do not play the Patriots. But they do play the Saints twice a year, so that would be interesting to see Tom Brady go up against Drew Brees twice a year. They do play the Packers, so that will be interesting. They do play the Chiefs. They play the Bears, so they'll see Foles. So it'll be interesting. They play the Panthers twice. But, I mean, there were some other moves, too. Let's talk about some wide receivers now. So the biggest headline move was DeAndre Hopkins getting traded from the Texans to the Cardinals and Stephon Diggs being traded from the Vikings to the Buffalo Bills. But let's talk about DeAndre Hopkins first. So, Nick, they got nothing back. They didn't even get a first-round pick for DeAndre Hopkins, arguably the best wide receiver in football.
Imagine trading the best receiver in football and a Hall of Fame receiver that went a whole season without dropping a pass for a running back who's over 30 and lost his starting job last year.
And always hurt.
Imagine.
Unbelievable.
The Vikings are such a horrible franchise. Everyone clowns my Giants, but I want to see some Texan slander after that.
Yeah, you mean the Texans. You said the Vikings before. You mean the Texans.
Oh, yikes. See? The Corona's got my brain all messed up, bro.
Yeah. But, man, Bill O'Brien, he's the coach acting as the GM, and that dude needs to get fired. How do you trade away arguably the best wide receiver in football. Like you said, hasn't dropped a pass in a full year. You don't even get a first round pick, but why are you even looking to trade him? You have a young quarterback whose his favorite target is DeAndre Hopkins. You trade him away for an aging, hurt running back. It makes no sense. You don't even get a first round pick in return. And now,
and the best part is, who's their other receivers? Will Fuller, who tears his ACL every other game.
Yeah, and that's pretty much it. And now DeAndre Hopkins goes to a Cardinals team that, on paper, looks like they could kind of have I guess you could say a magical run like the Ravens had. You have a young mobile quarterback who's pretty good in Kyler Murray, and now he has weapons like Kenyon Drake as your running back. You have DeAndre Hopkins and Larry Fitzgerald as your wide receivers. I don't know how their defense is, Nick, but offensively, the Cardinals look like they could be a real threat next year.
Yeah, their defense is actually not too bad. They're pretty decent. They got some weapons on defense. Chandler Jones puts up numbers with those sacks. Watch out. But, yeah, man, the Cardinals just got a whole lot better by getting rid of a running back who doesn't even start for them. So
yeah.
I'll take that trade any other day. Whoever is the GM of the Cardinals, they deserve a huge pay raise.
I mean, they did go 5-10-1 last year, but the NFC West right now, on paper, it looks like it could be one of the best divisions in football. You have the Super Bowl contending team of the San Francisco 49ers, Seattle Seahawks, each over 10 wins, the Los Angeles Rams right there. And now the Cardinals. So it's going to be a good NFC West, Nick, in 2020.
I'm about to get that Hopkins jersey. I know he's going to look fresh in that jersey.
Now, how pissed do you think Josh Rosen is right now?
Oh, furious.
Like, oh, now you want to go out and make moves instead of having me play in one of the worst teams in football.
That boy is so sick. He got drafted to a team that needed a quarterback. A year later, they're like, yeah, we didn't give you an O-line. You got sacked the most at any quarterback in the league. We're going to trade you. But he's like, all right, I go to another team where they need a quarterback. Then that team's like, you know what? We need a quarterback in the future. We have a quarterback that's very young. He's only a year out. He didn't prove himself yet. He could be molded into a great quarterback, a good player. You know what? Let's start Ryan Fitzpatrick. Yeah.
And then tank to draft Tua and not even use Josh Rosen at all.
Yeah, I know that boy is furious. He's about to go to the XFL.
He should, man. He'd definitely start. I'd take him on the Guardians.
On duty, man.
Yeah, but now let's talk about these Buffalo Bills, because I honestly think they're going to be a problem next year. They went 10-6. They made the playoffs last year. The Patriots are obviously not going to be 12-4 again, so the Bills have a really good shot at winning the division. The Jets, obviously, it's 7-9, but the Dolphins obviously got better as well. But the Bills, they traded 4 picks to get Stephon Diggs from the Vikings. And now I think they're going to be a problem, man, with the Buffalo Bills. When you have Josh Rosen throwing bombs down to Stephon Diggs, Cole Beasley. Don't they have is it Josh Brown or James Brown, too?
Oh, John Brown.
John Brown. But, yeah, then they're going to be a problem. Their defense is pretty good, too. But, I mean, as a Jets fan, I'm worried about this Buffalo Bills team more than I am about any other team in this division, because the Dolphins, I think, are going to be good, depending on their quarterback situation. And, I mean, I think this division, I think it's going to come down to either Buffalo or the Jets, but I have a slight feeling it's going to come down to just Buffalo at the very end, because they're already a proven team, and now you add a really good caliber wide receiver. And now,
I don't know, man.
I mean, any of those three wide receivers on the Bills would easily be the number one and number two targets for the Jets, and be like the top two receivers for the Jets. So, they have the skill position players, man.
I don't know, man. If Diggs is complaining about Kirk Cousins, I can't wait till he meets Josh Allen.
But Josh Allen could throw the ball deep.
Not very accurately, though.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
So, but all I'm saying is wait till that first practice. He's going to be like, oh, no. What have I done?
Yeah, because it seems like he forced his way out of Minnesota.
Yeah, he definitely did. And he got what he wanted.
Yep.
And earlier I was thinking, like, wow, they really shipped him up to Buffalo. But he was in the trenches in Minnesota, so he'll be all right.
Yeah, he'll be perfectly fine.
He has his coats. He's good.
Yeah. Now let's talk about some of the local teams. So, Nick, I mean, if you want to start off talking about the
Buffalo's
Giants.
Buffalo's not local? Wow, that's disrespectful. Damn.
Well, technically, they are the best team in New York football-wise. I know there you don't go. Like to admit that.
The best team in Canada. But local teams, my Giants making moves. Bradbury? Oh, finally. I get to stop watching Jack Rabbit get burnt every route. Finally, a corner. So, Bradbury about to put this lockdown on y'all. Watch, get ready. No more easy passes. Our secondary got just a little bit better. Now, if our rookies from last year now going into their second year could, you know, learn how to play corner, that'd be cool. But we're on the right track. I like the moves they made. They made some other subtle moves so far. Their biggest, probably the will be their biggest move, was signing James Bradbury to that huge contract. I love it. I'm about to get my Bradbury jersey right now.
Yeah, they've made some solid moves. It seems like they're gonna be ready to go, but I feel like there's a lot of holes they still gotta hit. I guess that's what the draft's for, right?
That's what the draft's for, baby. Another Daniel Dimes coming in hot.
Yeah. I guess now we'll talk about the Jets, right?
Jets moves. Let me hear them.
So
signing
far,
every O lineman.
They need to. And this is exactly what I wanted them to do coming into free agency. They needed to shore up the offensive line. They have a really good young quarterback in Sam Darnold who needs.
Really good?
Yeah. He has the
slow
potential.
Down
you
there,
saw
butt,
him in the. You saw him in the Cowboys game. You saw him in the Raiders game. He's a really good quarterback, but doesn't have an offensive line to protect him. And when
you need
you're
someone to protect him against Mono.
Yeah, that too. But when you have no line, I mean, you and I have been talking about this for like 2 years now. I mean, you with the Giants, and now I've seen it firsthand with the Jets. Both teams have suffered the past 2 years of having a really bad offensive line. And if the Jets could get a good line and a good line to protect Darnold, I think he's going to take a ginormous step once he has more than 0.5 seconds to throw the ball or get out of the pocket. And if they're able to have an offensive line that could actually open up holes for Le'Veon Bell, I think that this Jets team has the potential to be a pretty good team and compete for the division this year if it's, you know, these moves pan out. But
so Brady leaves, and now all of a sudden you're going to win the division. Here
who leaves?
We
oh, Brady?
Here we, I knew
personally,
this was going to happen.
Personally, I wish that Brady stayed so the Jets could just overcome, like, the obstacle and beat him instead of having to wait for him to leave to win the division. But, I mean, I'll take this too,
here, honestly. I knew it was a double-edged sword. I was happy because I get to hear Boston fans moan, but now the double-edged sword all season, I'm going to hear the Jets saying how they're going to win the division.
But I just finished talking about how the Bills could win the division.
Ah, Buffalo. Watch out, Canada team. They're kind
just
of...
enjoy the basement of your division, man. That's all I'm going to say.
I mean, I guess.
This is going to be fun, man. Hopefully the Jets are good next year.
You've been in the basement of division for 20 years, but last division title was 2002, but keep going.
Oh, man. So let's start off with what the Jets did. So they signed center Connor McGovern to a three-year, $27 million contract, $18 million guaranteed. I think this is a good move. The Jets have struggled with center since Nick Mangold retired in 2016. And this is a guy who played every single snap in 2019. He committed no penalties at all in 2019. So he's going to be a really good add for this Jets offensive line. This is probably the best move that they've made so far this offseason. And their GM, Joe Douglas, I mean, he's a former offensive lineman. So he knows what he's doing. He knows that obviously the Jets' biggest need is offensive line. So I thought this was a fantastic move. Like I said, best move of the offseason so far. They also reached an agreement with offensive tackle George Fant. They signed him to a three-year, $30 million deal, $13.7 million guaranteed. I mean, he's probably going to be the guy that protects Darnold's blind side. We'll see. I heard mixed things about this guy. I heard that he's a guy with a lot of upside. So we'll see what happens. I'm pretty sure he was a part-timer in Seattle. But we'll see. Hopefully, with more playing time working with this Jets coaching staff, hopefully he becomes a good player for the Jets and worth the money. They re-signed Alex Lewis to a three-year, $18.6 million deal, $6 million guaranteed. So that's good. He started in 12 games for the Jets last year. They traded for him in training camp last year. He's only 27 years old, and he did a pretty good job last year. So I thought it was deserving. Maybe you add him around with other good talent as well in the offensive line, and maybe he just needed to be around guys who can play at a high level. Because if you remember, Nick, the Jets played with, like, multiple different players at offensive line. It was like musical chairs, their offensive line last year. So hopefully they get some consistency. And then finally, they re-signed Brian Poole, the cornerback, to a one-year deal worth $5 million guaranteed. I thought this was a steal, Nick. He was their best cornerback, and obviously that's a position of need for them as well. But, I mean, he played well under defensive coordinator Greg Williams last year. So this was a great move. Obviously, they still need to shore up the other positions, like the other cornerback, too, get some more depth over there, get some more depth on defensive line. Hopefully they don't trade away Jamal Adams, because he's a great safety for the Jets and a great leader on that defensive end. So we'll see, man. Obviously, like I said, with the Giants, these other holes, that's what's the draft's for. So if I'm the Jets, I try to get maybe one or two more offensive lines in the draft, and then you focus on skill positions, mainly wide receiver. If they could get a guy like Jerry Jeudy, I think I'm saying his name right, as their wide receiver, I think they have a good chance at being a solid team. They still have to prove themselves, though. They finished the season 7-9 last year, but they did start off, what was it, like 1-4, 1-5, 1-6, something like that.
1-7.
And 1-7, but they did win six of their final 8 games or something like that. So we'll see, man. I think they have a lot of potential, but they still have to prove themselves. But it all starts with offensive line. If their offensive line is great, Darnold's going to be great, and Le'Veon Bell's going to be great. No. And I'm going to leave it at that with the Jets. And they're going to be right up there competing for the AFC East, while the Giants are realizing that Daniel Jones wasn't the move.
You're going to be so angry.
I got to throw some Giants shade. You know
this
I
have guy, to. Darnold, leads the league in picks, but you're throwing shade at Daniel Jones. Make it make sense. But anyways, I can't believe I was too busy thinking of Tom Brady and creamsicle uniform that I forgot about the two other Giants moves. The one, the poaching of the Packers linebackers, the best being Alex Martinez. Finally, a decent linebacker. And second, the tagging of Leonard Williams. And you know, Gettleman's my guy, but every year he has to have at least one clown shoe move, and this was his clown shoe move.
I forgot about that. Thanks for the extra picks, man. Yeah. Really helped us out.
Well, it's not like you'll use them well, so. And it's not like Gettleman will use them well anyway, so. You know, he has his moments. He's 50-50. So he had to make sure his clown shoes fit this year. He had to make sure he didn't have to get a new pair, and yeah, they still fit.
Oh, man.
Tagging of Leonard Williams, and instead of just signing him in free agency. And their main thing of trading for him rather than getting him in free agency was to get him at not a free agent. Because, you know, when you sign people in free agency and they're not your player, you usually have to pay, like, a bigger premium. You sign him for a little more. And they're like, oh, we'll trade for him now. We'll have him under our control. Then we can sign him to a multi-year deal. And we'll get a slightly, not like a real discount, but we won't have to spend as much. And then they tag him, giving him the average salary of the top 5 at his position. And I almost just ran into a tree. My brain is melting. Make it make sense. But hey, like I said, he had to have his one clown shoe move, and I'll give it to him.
Yeah. Oh, man. Well, there's a lot of craziness so far in this NFL free agency. A lot of craziness going on in this world as a whole with the coronavirus. We'll see what happens with the remainder of the NFL free agency. We'll see if they're able to start training camps on time. But the looks of it, I don't think they are. We'll see when these sports leagues come back, man. Hopefully baseball could be played this year. Who knows what's going to happen with everything else. But these are unprecedented times. So right now in not only our country, but in our world, Nick, good luck with everything you're doing. I mean, I appreciate what you're doing. You're on the front lines right now.
In the trenches.
Dealing with this stuff heads on. Yeah, in the trenches. So stay safe, stay clean, stay healthy. And to all our listeners, same to you guys. This has been Eminem Sports Talk Podcast. Thank you all for listening. Hopefully you guys are able to, you know, come out of this stronger than the way we came into it with this whole coronavirus stuff going on. So thank you all for listening. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at MN Sports Talk Pod. Throw us a like on Facebook.